is.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Continue now in the Tanya with the Chassidus Mufo Eres. We're on page Reish Samachay. Right in the brackets over there, we've discussed the issue where the Tanya has explained very clearly the difference in the Gemara says between a person who learns his Torah 100 times versus 101 times. And we said that the whole idea of 100 is that's your habit. And when you're in a habit to do something 100 times, it isn't very hard to maintain a habit. But to break that habit and then to go to do one more, 101, that is called someone who serves Hashem. Someone who breaks his habits is a person who serves Hashem. So now the bracket is going to elaborate on this as well. So on the second line from the top of Reish Samachay. Ki alashon shona pirko. The words shona pirko. Shona is in the present tense. Shona, he learns his chapter. Lashon hove. Mashmo, the implication of that is shikach darko tami. That's the way he usually does things. The present, that is a continuous present. You can't give it to someone who learns his chapter 100 times. Every time he learns something, he learns it 100 times. That's his habit. Ukishem shishayna pirka mea pa'amim. Just like when it says a person learns 100 times, hayna shikachi avoda sotami. That's the way he does things normally, because he's used to that. Skip the brackets. Kach so tu hashayna pirka mea pa'amim ve'achad. Person who learns his chapter 101. That he always learns his Torah more than what the natural way is for him.
His natural inclination.
His natural inclination to stop at 100. He goes always one more than what is the nature, to go one more to break the nature. So now the question becomes, because how does a person get into such an internal change? How can you be such a person who controls his nature? That's really what it's all about. Therefore, he's forced to always be engaged in this inner service. To make strong efforts in the service of the heart. La'orer belibo, to arouse in his heart, avas Hashem, the love of Hashem. Veregesh shel tshuka v'tzimon liskarv l'lokus, and a feeling of yearning and thirsting to get close to Hashem. V'zos, and where does that come from? Ayde hispainus begadlus Hashem b'mocho, by reflecting on the greatness of Hashem in his mind. Hainu shehu molid es ahava l'Hashem ayde yegi b'sichol. That means he spawns a love for Hashem thereby through the effort of his intellect. And that's all explaining what we mentioned last week of the words of the Tanya. How do you break your nature? You gotta bring that love. But how do you bring that love? By really thinking about how amazing Hashem is. Kikasher leva utter misfair bavas Hashem. When the heart of a person is aroused to love Hashem, when he feels a close to Hashem inside his heart, that's how he weakens the nature of the body. Because the root of the nature of the body is sourced into the left ventricle of the animalistic soul. That's how he can come to control his nature. Now, what is he getting in control of? Where is this nature coming from? Now, the next line of the Tanya. That nature is hamole dam, that left ventricle, which is filled with blood, which encloses hanefesh habahamis shemeaklipa, that encloses the animalistic soul of the shell. Shememenu atav, with nature comes from. Nature comes from the left ventricle. The left ventricle, we said many times, is the source of the animalistic soul. An animalistic soul does things naturally. Just like it wants to fress and eat and kill and survive naturally. And the human being has that nature. Part of the nature is to stay in your routine. That's part of nature. And this is what I'm used to doing, and I will continue to do that. Explains the Chassidus Mavoris. We're going to have a big Kiddush coming up soon. Some on the next page or so, I remember when I prepared this. The bitui with this expression is lishlot al hateva shebechlal asmali, to dominate over the nature that's found in left ventricle. Hakavanehi, what does this mean? Leetzem hateva varegila shel aguf gam kasher ein bahem ra golui. We're talking about the nature of being in a routine of the body, even when there is no revealed evil. We're not talking about a necessary evil here. We're not talking about your nature being evil. Your nature can be something that's parv or even good. But once you get used to something and that becomes your nature, that's when the animalistic part of you is really expressing itself. V'yesral kein, let's even go better than this, more than this. Gam ha-netiyus ha-tiviyus shal ha-odim l'dvorim tovim. Even the inclination, the natural inclination for a person to do good things, in brackets. Gonayoso masmi bilimud ha-tova. He naturally is diligent in his learning. He always comes on time to shir. He comes every day. He learns every day. That's amazing qualities. But that's all his nature. Mitsunan biteva. It's cold by nature. Kinisko Bel Baruch, as we mentioned before, you keep this line in mind. For those who are going to be tomorrow afternoon in the Hasidus class, we're going to have exactly a quote similar to that. So, those of you who are here tomorrow, I'll say, remember we saw it in Tanya, right over here. Mekoran, this all, even I have a nature to do good. Mekoran, my nevesh abahami shabachal smoli. It's rooted in the animalistic soul from the left ventricle. Why? Kichius haguf, because life from the body, he may hanevesh abahamis, which comes from the animalistic soul, hamalubeshet amorim, that is enclosed in the blood of the person. Hashochenes bechlal asmoli shebelev, it resides in the left ventricle of the heart, shumole damis full of blood, vechius zu, and this life, he makor hatevesh alaguf, that's the source of the nature of the body. V'imkei, therefore, kol ha-tchunas ha-tivya shel ha-guf. All the nature, the natural characteristics of the body, einam teva shel kedusha. It's not a nature of holiness, ela teva shel klipa, but it's a nature of the shell, the other side. Shar nevesh ha-bahami samachayas ha-gufi me-klipa sanoga, because the animalistic soul that keeps the body alive comes from that. We call that the klipa noga, the illuminating klipa. So let's turn to the next page.
What's a klipa exactly?
Klipa is just like you have a fruit. A fruit, the real fruit, is the inner content, and that's the really thing that is what's good about it. Then you have a shell that covers up that inner content and masquerades as the real thing, and it isn't. You look at a bright orange, right? The shell looks amazing, but it really doesn't taste so good.
Yes,
and it's covering up that which is really the essence. So whenever we talk about the forces of evil, we call it the klipa, because it's really covering up that which is really what's supposed to be the innermost essence of the person, and that's the good. So the godly soul is really what's the innermost good essence. It's covered up by the animalistic drives, what the animal does. Now, of course, if you harness the animal and use it for good, then you're taking the klipa and putting it on your side. And it's not covering up, but rather it's even revealing. That's the challenge here. So the big chiddush from the Tanya over here, as the Chassid Maharis explains, is that even if you're accustomed to doing a good behavior on a regular basis, it is part of the animalistic soul. And this is where the prophet says that the service to Hashem is mitzvahs anashim melumada. Person do robotic performance of their mitzvahs. Once it becomes nature, you'll lose the feeling for it. Even if it's a good thing, you lose the feeling for it. So here is the real source, this point over here, as we'll see in the next page now, in the next two lines, we're below the line here. Okay, is, in other words, below this line. Yeah, we don't read on the top, we just read here. Yeah. V'zoi malas ha'ovid elkim. This is the virtue of a person who serves Hashem. Shesholeit al nafsha ba'ames shemeha klipa. It rules over the animalistic soul from the shell. Ulafichad ovid es Hashem yoser metim rigloso. Therefore, he serves Hashem more than his nature of what he's used to that comes from the animalistic soul. So what he is saying, and I believe he'll elaborate on this a little more, is that if even if you're doing things that are wonderful, if that already is your routine, then that's already no good. Then you're not called an Eved Elohim anymore. You're not called a servant of Hashem anymore. Because you're not working hard anymore. You got the godly soul works hard. So even though, it could be, it took many months of hard work to become a regular at Minyan. You're right. And now, Baruch Hashem, I'm used to it. Once you feel you're used to it, then you're no longer an Eved Elohim.
It's done.
You've slipped out of being a servant of God. Now you have to say, what's the next thing that's going to be hard for me to do? That is no break. Finished. So what do you mean? Well, when do I get my rest? The next world. And the next world is a very anti-secular attitude. Secular attitude, everything is focused on the break, on the rest, on the weekend. Again, in Judaism, Shabbos is not a day of physical rest. It's a day of you're resting from the confusion of the week. You're resting from the Yetzer Hara making you confused as to what's right and wrong. On Shabbos, if you serve Hashem properly and it becomes clear, now you really aren't resting. You're working hard without the obstructions of the confusion, and then you're spending lots of time expressing your love for Hashem. And you're not lying in bed sleeping it off. Right? And that's the focal point of life. The focal point, life is, you want to know what a person's living for? Look what his weekends are like.
Michelob.
That's all.
Weekends are for Michelob.
In the Goyish world, it's one thing. When do I take vacation? When do I have off? In other words, their whole life is they don't want to work.
Leisure.
Leisure. Man of leisure, that's an animal. The animal wants to have leisure. So that's a Goy. A Yid who keeping Shabbos properly, leisure is not the goal. The goal is work. Now, of course, it comes to a point where you're working, and your body is exhausted. So now, that's not the goal. The goal is not leisure. The leisure is a means to be able to work harder. In the secular world, the goal is leisure. I wish I could make enough money that I would not have to work anymore. If you ask a Goy, what would be your dream? My dream is to work enough till I'm a multi-billionaire and I didn't pay taxes, right? And therefore, I can now rest the rest of my life. But then they don't realize, once you're resting, what are you doing then?
That's what drives the lotteries.
That's a
dream. Right? But a Yid is, my goal is to work harder. That is my goal. And we go to the next world, you ain't going to be resting much either there.
No, no rest.
But then you just won't feel tired. The difference is you won't feel tired.
So what's this rest and peace?
That's a Goyish idea.
Yeah.
The Goyish concept. To rest in peace is a Goyish concept.
You said the only place that's fun is on the grave, is on the tombstone. Peinun.
Peinun. Ponikbar. Fun.
Fun, right.
Feinun. Says on every grave. Every grave says Feinun. A good grave, right? Feinun, if you transliterate it, spells fun. It's really Ponikbar. Here is buried. I forgot that one, Martin.
Yeah,
thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
So what's the meaning of that?
I'm saying a Goy's idea of fun is doing nothing.
You mean the Goy have that?
Sort of guy,
but
I'm saying it's you can read it both ways.
Yes, you can read it both ways.
Pain, now secular Jews don't even have Peinun.
No.
They don't have it anymore. But that's
no more fun
but the point is that he's clearly articulating here. If you are an Eved Elohim, if you're someone who serves Hashem, there is always something that you are struggling with. Now, the smart person doesn't wait for Hashem to send you the struggle. You initiate the struggle. As long as you keep initiating the struggle, Hashem more often than not need not supply any more for you. So if you say, I really have to struggle to know how to read Hebrew fluently, and I know it's going to be a miserable time of it, I'm going to suffer greatly because I'm not a linguist and it's a strange language for me, or I'm going to suffer learning Gemara, I'm going to suffer not talking Lashon Hara. So Hashem says, you're already suffering enough, what do I got to add to that?
Yeah.
And you're suffering in the areas I want you to suffer. And then, okay, now you've reached a status where you can read Hebrew. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, now I want you to learn how to go to shul and daven. And I want you to know what every Hebrew word means. There's enough challenges built in Yiddishkeit, you don't have a shortage of things to say, what do I need to do for the next challenge? And if you have a great, great, great rabbi, then Hashem gives you great, 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 bigger challenges. And that's good. That you got to just, we got to start promoting that. You know, we have bad PR in terms of, you know, sadly to say, the Germans, for all the terrible things in life, they did have a good line that Arbeit macht frei. And it is true. That is true. Almost everything else about the Nazis, they should be obliterated and there should be no memory of them. But Arbeit macht frei, work makes you free. If you translate it like a Yid, working for Hashem truly makes you free. There's no greater freedom than working for Hashem because you're free from the animalistic nature. So we'll just add, Avoidas Hashem macht frei.
Yeah.
Just make
they didn't
one,
put that though, I don't think.
Just one little
I
word
think
more.
I had that on Auschwitz.
Avoidas Hashem. No, but that's what it means. No, that's, but it, they had Arbeit macht frei.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, but that's what it is. So therefore we have to look forward for that Arbeit. And that makes us. And then says the Tanya, the next, now the bold words is the Tanya that he's taking from the top. And the rest is the commentary on that. And now the Tanya says, if you do that, Vizohi avoda tama lebeinoni. This is called the wholesome work of the Beinoni. That's the person we call is in between, which we already said is a high level. This explains the Chassidus Mevoeres. Gami shigili dekach sheishlo shlita al teva gufa v'nav shabamis. Even if a person reaches a level where he dominates his physical nature and his animalistic soul, still in all, Eino Ella the Madregas Beinoni. All he is, he's still only the level of a Beinoni, a average. Velo the Madregas Tzadik. He's still not on the level of a Tzadik.
Should we use the term average?
Yeah. Beinoni's average.
Well, in between.
Okay, that's better.
Really, there's a lot of words you can see from Beinoni. Beinoni has the word ben, which comes from the word bonet, to build. And we could say he's a builder.
Yeah, he truly is a builder.
He's a builder because he's always worked, but there's it depends. There's some who are building and some who aren't building. So, but anyway, he's in between. Anyway, he is average from Jewish perspective. From God's perspective, average is good. Average is good in Yiddish.
Just to get to average is awesome.
His mother wanted him to be average. Average is good. You have to remember, what are the polarics? The Polaris isn't Tzadik, what Tzadik is in a Russia, so Beinoni still is in between. Anyway, why is he not a Tzadik? He had Tzadik, Shinas, Penimiosa, Lagamri, Al Yedei, Bidl, Rav, Minkovachal. Because the Tzadik changed his inner content totally by totally nullifying the evil. The animalistic soul is finished, is out.
It's finished.
Vilu Eitzel Beinoni, but by the Beinoni, Harava Teva Gufo Heim Betungum. The evil and the nature of the body are still strong and very powerful. Ugadelis Gabrelem and to overcome them, who Zakukumuchomat means he has to have a constant battle. In other words, even if you're a good Jew and you're going to shul every day, now to initiate the new battle, it's a struggle. We don't want to on our own do that. Okay, so now I'm coming to shul every day. Now what do you want me to do? I have to start spending extra time understanding my darling. That's another job you gave me. Okay, I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves, take a deep breath, and jump, and fight, and struggle. Well, then you're a Beinoni, because what were you fighting? You're fighting against the nature. The nature is, let me stay with the fact that I'm davening properly. I'm coming to shul every day. That's a big thing. Rabbi, how come you're not complimenting me on that? Give me a big prize. Tell me I can retire now.
Let's go to the dollar store.
No. So now you have to fight the nature of just maintaining the status quo is also an animalistic drive. What about bigger ambition? Spiritual ambition has to be. So now if you're a tzaddik, a tzaddik never is in nature mode.
Never.
Because once it's natural, it's animalistic. It's not nitzus. That's what they said. Tzaddik mechayel lechol, from strength to strength. The tzaddik doesn't know what it means to coast. It's not in his. He doesn't understand what it means to be in a routine. He just. It's not there. It's not there. He's always doing something harder. And that you know, okay, you can go to an infinite point. So isn't that his nature? To always go harder? No. Well, that's already beyond nature.
That's
is
beyond nature.
Status quo. Tzaddik is never on status quo mode. Just never on status quo. It's always
no automatic pilot.
Always looking to move it further.
So it's part of the matter that every Shemoneh Esrei is more challenging than the previous.
He always puts new kavanas in, different kavanas. From one Shemoneh Esrei, he's probably found another 10 sick people that need a mishaberach, and he's davening for them, and there's, you know, he's more attuned to what happened from one tefillah to the next. He's already learned some hard gemaras he doesn't understand. He needs Hashem to help him to understand the gemara. He's totally focused. Okay. Now take a look in footnote 30 where he makes a linguistic note. Kelashon Rabbeinu, the lashon of the Rebbe is lishlot al hatevish v'chol smoli, to lishlot, to rule over the natural instinct in the left ventricle. Hanishigam la'achar shishinas tevar agilishlot, even after he changed his nature once, hadayim lo bitel asevi, he didn't nullify his nature. A tzaddik nullifies his nature. It's gone. The Beinoni is only sholate. He rules. But it's, and rules against the will of the animal. The animal's still there. The Beinoni is always fighting him. Always fighting the animal. Even when he's doing good. The animal says, okay, we're good. We're diving every day now. Three times a day. That's a good thing. Let's leave it at there. True. No. That's the animal in you. We got it. Now we're coming 5 minutes before davening. Now you come. I'm going to come 5 minutes before davening. Talis and tefillin on before davening. Okay, you finish with that. Now we're going to come a half hour before that to learn. Okay, you're okay over there. We're going to come. We're going to start learning a half hour before that, and then we're going to spend a half hour of his hispodidus before davening. And then he just chips away, and before you know it, you're there at 2:30 in the morning. You're there at 2:30 in the morning.
You're not tired.
And
you may be tired.
You may be a little tired, so you may have to take a coffee. Even Rav Eliyashiv had a tea. That's only if he got into the tea before he started learning. Once he opened the Gemara, that's it. He can't. He just couldn't. He couldn't think about. He just didn't think about it. He had to catch him like at 2:29 when he got up, until he got dressed, and then he said his brachas. And right after the bracha, if you got the tea right in front of him, he got a shaka, take a sip. That's it. If you missed it, gone. That's it. Got to wait till 8:30 for breakfast. Just wasn't there. Okay. So that's what you have to look for. Now your animal is screaming inside. You're saying, what? I don't want that. When am I going to go on vacation? Not. What do you mean? That's not what it's about. Well, that's what makes you a Beinoni. You see, that's what makes you. Tzaddik ain't no struggles. Ain't no struggles anymore. Okay, Ella continuing. The war for this Beinoni. He al Penimio, so it's the inner battle. Hainu etzem teva gufa v'nam shabahamis. The essential nature of the body and animalistic soul. So that's the he battles. And what is the weapon that the Beinoni uses? It's reflecting on the greatness of Hashem and arousing a love for Hashem. So you reach a certain spiritual level. Therefore, then you'll have control over your nature, although the beast is still there. And in every aspect, he's successful to serve Hashem more and more than his natural teva, that he's accustomed to. Let's give an analogy to this in the brackets. Let's say two people who are fighting each other, wrestling match. And the strength of one of them got stronger up to the point Shabara Dover, that it's clear to him, Shabakol Pam Shilachim Negeda Menagelo, every time he wrestles with this guy, Yachos Lishalo Nasu, he can always beat him up.
Oh boy.
Let's say these guys were wrestling. They're wrestling partners. You know, at once a week they have a wrestling match. And during a week they go and work out. So for the first year or two, one would win, the other one would win, going back and forth. Now what happens, one of them starts working out even more intensively. And he learns more wrestling moves and this and that. And now, guess what? The last 20 weeks, he won the match every time. He won every time the match. But not just walking the ring and going, oh. He had to give all. But when he works his hardest, he will always beat the other guy when the other guy works his hardest. It could be for simple reasons. He's 5 inches taller than him, 40 pounds heavier than him, and the muscle capacity is larger. And the other guy, no matter what he does, he can't be as big and as tall and as strong as the other guy. Now you're going to beat him up every time. Now does that mean he has to just take it easy?
No. Nope.
No, but what does it mean? Avol kol zman shelo bitel asa menaget gavur, until you kill the opponent or paralyze the opponent, mikol v'chol totally adayin l'natsu l'chom, he always is fighting a war, isn't he? He's always fighting a war. He just can't walk into the thing and just say, I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. Right? And the truth of the matter is, the opponent isn't so stupid either. The opponent works a little harder too. Works a little harder too. But you could always, if you keep working, you'll always beat him because you always have that advantage. You still have that, you're still 4 inches taller. And you can always have a bigger muscle capacity, providing you're both not taking steroids. But you always can win if you're always working hard. So that's the Beinoni, the Tzaddik. He has paralyzed the opponent. The opponent, every time he walks in, the opponent's sleeping on the carpet. He's gone. He's just not there, or he's killed. He's not even there. All right, that's the difference. But you still need to fight every day. But if the other guy isn't getting any stronger, then you don't have to work any harder. You can work with the same diligence, but the truth of the matter is you still got to make that effort. Ubiyachas the madregas ha-beinoni asma, in relation to the level of Beinoni himself, Avoda zu shel shinui hateva harigilus, this service of changing what you're accustomed to by nature, nikris b'shem avoda tamo. This is called wholesome service. Okay? This is wholesome service. Hainu avoda mushlemes. This is complete service. Why? Machshu oved al atzmo, because you're working on yourself, to create a inner change in yourself. L'shanos es tevergil, to change the nature of being accustomed to things. Shel nafsha bahamis, of the animal soul, v'lishalov, and to dominate it. Al yedei hisponenus v'gadlus Hashem b'mokos v'sorzav Hashem b'libo, by reflecting on the greatness of Hashem in his mind and the arousal of the love of Hashem in his heart. So this becomes the avoda tama of the Beinoni. Okay? Now this is one way in which he can do it. And next week we're going to discuss another way in which he can do it. But clearly, what the insight you have to remember is that even a good habit is coming from an evil source. The good breakthrough is coming from a good source. But once the good habit becomes a good breakthrough, once a good breakthrough becomes a good habit, the habit already is coming from the bad side. And once you feel it's a habit, you gotta break out. Now many people, when they do this, they think all you gotta do is go to another environment. Yeah. Change the scenery. That doesn't change anything. You're gonna be the same person. Within the same scenery, change who you are. Change what you're doing.
Take them wrong, right?
Right? So you don't need to change the scenery. You, where you are, say, okay, where I'm at, I'm going to come 5 minutes earlier. That's all. That's all you need to do to make a breakthrough. And there'll be that fighting. For those 5 minutes, you're fighting. Believe me, if we would try to start the class at 5 to 6. It's harder than you think, you know, unless you're coming already before 5 to 6. For those who are just making it at 6, or just making it at 6:30, that 5 minutes a killer. It's a killer. So, but that makes a big change. Hashem should give us the schus, and this Shabbos Chazon. The schus, you want to build the base of Migdash. The base of Migdash comes from work. It's like you're building a structure. You got to always be building it higher and higher. Just sitting back, no buildings get built.
But Rabbi, you don't give up on the good things you're doing just because they're
routine. No, once you're doing better, you're not giving up. You're increasing.
Right.
And that's building. Beinoni builds.
You're adding on.
Beinoni from Binyan. From Binyan. Right. Builds. Yeah. That's a good Beinoni.